As I talk with many, many people over the years, I've come to realize that a lot of people are really asking one major significant question, and that is, can God make a difference in my life? Is it really true that God can change the way in which I am? And it's so easy for us to understand that because of our own experience in life as we encounter people who are just like us. That there are moments in our lives where we question. And you may be here today, and the reason you're here is you're trying to figure this out. You're really trying to discern if God really can make a difference. Is it all true what people say about Jesus Christ, about God, about Christianity? And what I want to do is help you as we answer that very important question. And I'm going to show you today, I'm going to prove to you today that God can make a difference in your life. And if those are a guest, I've been in a series of messages, and we're studying the Bible. We're looking at the 40 major chapters of God's Word. I'm using the entire year to do that. It's early in our study, and we're in a section, and we've called it Coloring Outside the Lines. We find in God's Word that He told Old Testament Israel, here are the boundaries by which you're to live. And we find them over and over again disobeying God with their lives coloring outside the lines. It's interesting that USA Today had a report that was a survey, and the survey was titled Coloring Outside the Lines Theologically. Coloring Outside the Lines Theologically, and it's a study from Pew Research about where people are in their faith. And the essence of the survey is showing a contrast and comparison between what people say they believe and the way in which they actually live, how they practice that belief, really the lack thereof. And they gave several statistics about that. First of all, 78% overall say there are absolute standards of right and wrong, but only 29% rely on their religion to delineate those standards. 74% say there is a heaven where people who have led good lives are eternally rewarded. 70%, including a majority of all major Christian and non-Christian religious groups, say many religions can lead to eternal life. Now, if people believe in theological boundaries, it's obvious that there are many, many people coloring their lives outside the lines. And the result is great confusion about God and whether or not God can make a difference in their lives. Peggy Noonan wrote an article in Forbes magazine, and she says this, "I think we have lost the old knowledge that happiness is overrated, that in a way life is overrated. We have lost somehow a sense of mystery about us, our purpose, our meaning, our role. Our ancestors believed in two worlds and understood this to be the solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short one. We are the first generation of man that actually expected to find happiness here on earth, and our search for it has caused much unhappiness. The reason? If you do not believe in another higher world, if you believe only in the flat material world around you, and if you believe that this is your only chance at happiness, and if that is what you believe, then you are not disappointed when the world does not give you a good measure of its riches, you are despairing." In other words, God can make a difference. On a Friday, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, an innocent man, was crucified. He died. Did God make a difference on that day? Well, yes, He did. And because He did, He can make a difference in your life today. The Apostle Paul helps us see that. If you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I want to begin reading in verse 28 in just a few moments. The Apostle Paul has been writing to the church at Rome, and he's helping them understand who Jesus is, and he's also making a comparison between the old covenant, which was under the law of Moses, and the new covenant, which is through Jesus Christ. And so he's doing this contrast and comparison again between the two and helping these at the church understand the difference that Jesus Christ makes. And so we're going to see that through this passage that I'll read today, and how he makes it so clear in answering this question of whether or not God can make a difference. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who were called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now there He's talking about salvation, past, present, and future. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, how is it that God can make a difference in our lives? There are those who are here who are trying to determine that, really for the first time. But there are others of us that we say that we know God and love God, but we've had experiences in life that are causing us, particularly now, to doubt whether God really is who He said He is. Is God going to come through? Just like in the Garden of Eden with Eve, God, Satan comes to Eve and says, did God really say? He plants the seed of doubt. He may be doing that for you right now. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that God will give you a competent perspective of life that others do not have. God will give you a confident perspective of life that others do not have. Notice verse 28. We know some things. And he lists out what we know. Now, he's saying specifically that we know about salvation. We can have confidence. You know, often when I ask somebody this question, I'll say, if something were to happen to you tonight, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know you would go to heaven or whatever else? And here's often what somebody will say, I think so, I hope so, I want to, but I don't know. I hope in the end when God weighs the good and the bad of my life, the good will outweigh the bad, and God will let me in. Well, the Bible says this in 1 John 5. It says, these things were written, the Bible was written, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to consider it. And it's not out of arrogance. It's not out of because of who you are. It's because of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it possible that I could have assurance of going to heaven if it's based on how many good things that I do in life? I mean, where's the threshold between heaven and hell? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? And we drive ourselves spiritually crazy wondering, am I okay with God? When the Bible says that you can have that confidence. Again, if you truly know the Lord, then you're going to have a committed life of following Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not perfectly, but that is your heart's desire to follow Him. And so we can have that knowledge. We can see life the way God wants us to see it. Not just in salvation, but also I can have His perspective about what's going on. Listen, I find there are a lot of people, this is the big struggle. They cannot make sense out of what's going on. Life doesn't appear as it seems. Now, yesterday morning, I took my dog Roger out on a walk. And we do that every morning. Rain, sleet, snow, sunshine, if it's 5 below, or if it's 105, Roger and I are on a leash, and we're going out. And that's our routine. Well, yesterday morning, very early as I was walking out, I heard what I thought were gunshots. It was a tap, 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 tap. And I stopped suddenly. Roger stopped suddenly. We're looking around. You know, two guys just shot each other, killed themselves here in Cape. So I was aware of that. And just, well, two or three months ago, somebody drove by our house. I have a car parked on the road there, threw this huge rock through my windshield and shattered it. And somebody else in the neighborhood, there was another vandalism that took place. So I'm a little, you know, antsy hearing this and things like a gunshot's going off. And lo and behold, I found the culprit. It was a woodpecker, and he was on a metal light pole pecking away. Now, think about that for just a moment. You know, you talk about many things, but one thing, that is a frustrated woodpecker. If he's on that metal pole, thinking he's on a regular wood pole. You know, and the Lord showed me in that moment, that's how a lot of people are right now in this world. Down deep inside, there is this deep-seated frustration about life. They can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense to them. And listen, God makes a difference in that He gives you a perspective of life that others do not have. They'll never have it. And the perspective is that God is in control, that God loves me, that God is at work, that I can trust God. And no, it doesn't make sense what has happened and why it's happened. But I can get His perspective about that which I'm dealing with in life. And that's the difference that He can make. Notice also, God is at work in every event of your life. Verse 28, all things work together for the good. Another translation says, in all things, God works. God is designing a grand mosaic of your life. And every event of your life is a piece in that mosaic. Now, there's a veil over that mosaic right now. We can't fully understand what God is doing. But one day, when we're in heaven, God is going to pull the curtain back, and we're going to see the mosaic, and we're going to look at that piece, which made no sense to us, and we're going to see how it fit into God's plan. Not just the plan in our life, but God's eternal plan. His salvation history plan, and how that moment and my life in this grand mosaic makes a difference in what God is trying to do. And that's why what we say, what we do, our lives matter to God. All these things, it may mean that not all these things are good things, but all things are working together. It's in those darkest moments that we hear God the loudest. C.S. Lewis wrote, God speaks to us in our mind, shouts to us in our conscience, and screams to us in our pain. Jesus said, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. We're going to have dark moments. It's in those moments that God will speak. F.B. Meyer, a British pastor in the 19th century, said this, our Lord is constantly taking us into the dark that He may tell us things. Into the dark of the shadowed home where bereavement has drawn down the blinds. Into the dark of the lonely, desolate life where some infirmity closes us in from the light and stir of life. Into the dark of some crushing sorrow and disappointment. Then He tells us His secrets. Great and wonderful, eternal and infinite, the eye which has been dazzled by the glare of earth becomes able to behold the constellations. And the ear to detect the undertones of His voice, which is often drowned amid the tumult of earth's strident cries. God is at work at every event of your life. And that's why God can make a difference in your life. He has a plan, and you can trust Him. Notice also, the difference is that God is on your side. Verse 31, if God is for us, who is against us? Now, I want to share an amazing truth to you. It may be so profound, you've never heard it before, but it's this. God is not against you. God is for you. God loves you. And this passage of Scripture proves that that is true. How do we know that? Verse 32. He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. And how will He not also with Him grant us everything? Not everything we want, but everything that we need, God will give to us because He loves us, and He proved that by the sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there is one who is against us and who is against Christ, but we often get the two mixed up. There is an enemy called Satan, and there are different titles in the Bible regarding Satan. He's our accuser. He's the liar. In fact, he's the father of lies, Jesus said. He's our adversary. He's the tempter. He's the wicked one. He's the angel of light, used in a way of describing his deception. Now, that's who he is. And we need to remember how bad he is. On the other hand, we have Jesus Christ. We have God himself, and there are those who believe that God is against us. But let's look at some of the titles that are for the Lord Jesus in particular. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Shepherd. He is our resurrection and light. All those things said about Jesus Christ in God's Word are good. Everything that is said about our enemy is bad. It's that simple. So God is always, listen, He's always for you. It may not make sense what's happening. You may feel that God is against you. Just when you're trying to get your head above the water, you get whacked again, and you wonder, where is God? Why is He doing this? But we have to go on truth. What is the truth of God's Word? And the truth is that God is on your side. That's the difference that the resurrection makes. Notice also, God's love and presence will never leave you. Verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Perhaps there's the presence of others, the presence of their love that has left you through death, through divorce, through disappointment. But there is a love that is with us for those who are in Christ that will never leave us. Our world is starving for a love that will make a difference in their lives. They're desperate. And listen, they'll do crazy things. They'll do ungodly things in order to experience love. Almost every day of every week, I'm talking to somebody about this subject, about the desire to be loved, the desire to be fulfilled in life, and how they're trying other things the world has to offer. Satan is offering to fill that void. Only God can fill that void. And that's the difference that he makes. And as Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Only he can satisfy that longing. Also, God will give you victory through the hard times of life. Verse 37, we are more than victorious, the Bible says. Another translation says we are more than conquerors. The actual rendering of the language of that day is we are super conquerors. Not just conquerors, but super conquerors. And the word that is used there is the word Nike. That's the actual word of the language. It's just been transliterated into English. And what is Nike trying to do? Nike's trying to convince us that if you wear our brand of clothing, you will be victorious. So people spend billions of dollars on Nike products because it's got to be Nike. It can't be, you know, anything else. It's got to be that because it tells everybody, I'm unique. I've got the Nike brand, and so I'm going to be special. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be victorious. Of course, we all know better. That ain't going to do it. The only person, the only thing that's going to help you have a victorious Christian life is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the difference that he makes so that you can experience a victorious life. God will give you that victory. The way that you conquer those problems is by being able to rise again and again and again. And then that's what Paul says in verse 34, that happens. The reason we're victorious is because Christ Jesus has been raised. As I've said before on several occasions, the word means to stand again. That's what happened to Jesus. When he was resurrected, he stood again. And whenever we experience the things of life, God empowers us to stand again and again. At a funeral, I'll say, on Thursday, he stood again, but in a different place. They're standing, even at death, for those who were in Christ. So you're able to see, listen, God's purpose in the circumstance that you're experiencing, and that's why you can be victorious. Look, the cross tells us that there are some problems that are hard to answer. An innocent man goes to the cross and he dies. But Christ believed God, he trusted God's mission, and he went to the cross because he was able to be victorious, knowing that was going to happen. So your victory, listen, may not be that the circumstance changes. It didn't for Jesus. That circumstance didn't change. He died on a cross. But it is to get God's perspective. Gerald Sitzer was a college professor and an author. And he was with his family. They were on a family trip going to see family. On the way back, they were in a tragic car wreck. Gerald's mother-in-law, his mother, their four-year-old daughter were all killed in the wreck. And three other daughters lived, as well as Gerald, and they were not seriously injured. He wrote a book called A Disguised Grace, or A Grace Disguised, and he said this, "If I have learned anything over the past years, it is that I desperately need and desire the grace of God, which has come to me in many unexpected ways. Friends have remained loyal and supportive in spite of my struggles. Quietness, contentment, and simplicity have gradually found a place in the center of my soul, though I have never been busier. I go to bed at night grateful for the events of the day, which I try to review and reflect on until I fall asleep. And I wake up in the morning eager to begin a new day. My life is rich and productive, like Iowa farmland in late summer. Despite my having been a Christian for many years before the accident, God has become a living reality to me as never before. My confidence in God is quieter but stronger. I feel little pressure to impress God or prove myself to Him, yet I want to serve Him with all my heart and strength. My life is bountiful even as I continue to feel the loss. Grace is transforming me, and it is wonderful. I have slowly learned where God belongs and have allowed Him to assume that place at the center of life rather than at the periphery. Yes, God can make a difference." He also makes a difference in that our victory is possible because of Christ's victory over death. Verse 37, "We are more than victorious through Him who loved us." How? Verse 34, "Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised." So Christ died on the cross, a sinless man, was buried in a tomb, a borrowed tomb at that. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. The stone was rolled away by the power of God. I want to ask you, what stone in your life needs to be rolled away? It's a stone that's so overwhelming. You've tried the things of this world to remove that stone, but there's one who can make a difference and can roll that stone away, and that is Jesus Christ. And the reason is that He's alive. You see, there are other world religions who talk about faith and talk about how to have a relationship with God and how to go to heaven one day. But listen very carefully. Not one of them deal with your sin problem. Read carefully, listen very carefully to what they teach. Not one of them have an answer to the problem of sin in your life. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. And the only way that can be resolved, that stone can be removed, is through the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus Christ. By His death and resurrection, He's the only one who has victory over sin and death, and over the sin and death that we all deserve because of our sin. Yet, we've been set free by the victory of Jesus Christ. Notice finally, everything will not work out for the good for some people. Verse 28, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose." Now, what is that purpose? He answers that in verse 29. To be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't work out because you're a member of a church. It doesn't work out because you give money to the church. It doesn't work out because you're nice to somebody else. It only works out for those who are called, who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That means I am a committed follower of Jesus Christ. When he says being conformed to the image of Christ, He's saying he's the boundary. And you pour your life into him like wet cement. It sets up according to the form. That's the image. That's how that word was used in that day and time. Jesus is the form. He's the boundary. Why is it that we keep trying to color outside the lines? We try to live his life outside of his boundary, outside of his life. It cannot happen that way. You know, Easter is a very special day for me and for my family because it was on Easter Sunday that my father openly confessed his faith in Christ. Earlier that week, he gave his heart to Christ. He was in trouble, as I've shared before, and a man came and shared Christ with him. He said, "Bill, I hear you're in trouble." It was out. And that day, my father was radically saved, radically changed. And on Easter Sunday, he did what this man told him to do. You need to openly confess your faith in Christ. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so he said, "Well, I did what the man said. I went and I openly confessed my faith in Christ." Now, through that experience, my dad led many of his family members to Christ back in the day. But what happened on that day has made a difference in generations to come. I don't know where I would be today had that not happened in his life. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be standing here preaching about Jesus Christ, and I don't know if I'd be in any church anywhere on the planet on Easter Sunday. Maybe, I don't know. But I know I am today because of what I saw happen in his life. And my children, and my grandchildren, and there's no telling the generations that are going to be affected by that commitment. That's the difference that he can make. This past week, a woman in our church was down at the senior center, and she was teaching one of the lessons that we're going through in the study of God's Word. She noticed a man, and she went over to him, and she asked him, "Sir, if something were to happen to you today, do you have the assurance that you would go to heaven?" He said, "I do not." And she shared what I just shared with you, and right there, he gave his heart to Christ as his Lord and Savior. Listen, his life's forever different. He's very close to eternity. Thank God he saw it when he did. This past week, probably about 2 weeks ago actually, a couple in our church, they invited a young woman who's been attending our church to come to their home. And she began to share her life story, and they began to share theirs. And through that conversation, they shared with her the hope that you can have in Jesus Christ. She gave her heart to Christ that evening in their home. And Friday night at our Good Friday service, she came and openly confessed, stood before everybody here, openly confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Wednesday morning, very early, I was asked to make a phone call to California, to Burbank, California. And it was much earlier there. And there I had the opportunity to talk to a young woman and share the hope of Christ, the story of Easter. And there with me in my office and there in her home in California, she prayed and asked Christ to come into her life. Lives that are forever different. They don't understand all that that means today. And I've been further down the road than them, and I know what's going to happen as they continue to follow Christ. There might be somebody here this morning who needs to allow God to make the difference in your life. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes if you would. There might be somebody here who would say, "Pastor, I've known about God, not everything, but some things. You may not know much at all, but today you've come to understand what the Bible says is true, that God loves you. And he proved that by putting his son, Jesus Christ, on a cross, who bled and died to pay the penalty for your sin, so that you would not have to pay for your sin with your life. Not just physically, but for all of eternity. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He lives today, and he wants to live in your heart. And right now I want to ask you if you want to give your heart to Christ, that I want to help you do that. And it's not by what I pray, it's not what I say, but it is by you making the commitment to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm just helping you verbalize the desire of your heart. So you pray this prayer quietly in your heart as I pray it out loud. Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I also believe he rose again on the third day. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, and receive your gift of eternal life in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Help me each day to live for you. The Bible says this as you're still in an attitude of prayer. He who believes has eternal life. That doesn't mean I believe with my head. It means I believe with my heart, my life. If anybody ever asks you, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? You can say yes on Sunday, April the 1st, and it was no joke. I gave my heart to Christ as my Lord and Savior. There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I know the Lord, but I'm not where I should be spiritually. God's made that very clear to me. And you know, God's not surprised. He knows about that. But here's a great truth. Here's the difference that God makes. It's not a one and done deal. God's a God of a second chance. And if a person is willing to turn from their sin, he's always willing to forgive and to cleanse us, the Bible says. His arms are open wide as a loving father waiting to embrace you as you come home to him. You can do that just by telling the Lord that this morning. Lord, I'm coming home. There might be others that God is leading you to become part of our church family. We're not a perfect church, but we love the Lord and we want others to know him and we want them to grow in their walk with him. And we're committed to that purpose here and around the world. And we would love for you to be a part of what God is doing here at Linwood. Others may need to come and pray. Just kneel here at the altar. Or maybe you want somebody to pray for you. We have people prepared to do that. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today from your word. Lord, thank you how our lives are forever different because of that. Lord, may it compel us to love you all the more, serve you all the more. Be a better witness all the more. Help these now who need to make commitments. In Jesus' name, amen.